Tales of the Weird. Speaking of kind of ooky, I suppose. Unbelievable True Stories. National Geographic has put this together. Editor David Braun joins us this morning. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
So what is your favorite story so far that's been published in this book?
The story about zombie ants. There are various types of fungi that infect ants, take them over, steer their bodies and their minds, what minds ants have, get them to park at a particular place on a tree, lock their jaws down on the leaf, and then use their bodies as a kind of petri dish to grow their fungus. The ants will explode and spread the fungus around to infect more ants.
The ants will explode, did you just say?
Yeah, the fungus grows out through every orifice and rips them apart.
Oh my. Now, Craig, I've seen
this. Is this contagious to people? I hope not.
Not that we know of.
I don't know whether this was maybe it was a National Geographic special or one of those about just Earth. I've seen that. They show ants that had been infected by this.
Yes, there has been a special about it.
And it was amazing to watch because, you know, as humans, we love watching ants because they're so productive. They're doing all the things. They take a leaf and all of them march and move along. But to see this kind of creepy thing happen to them, for once I felt sorry for an ant. But that's, I suppose, in this story, in this book, Tales of the Weird, how did this book come together? I guess there's an online companion that kind of sort of spawned this. No pun intended, I guess.
No, exactly right. We started doing daily news about 10 years ago, and it turned out to be the most popular section of our site. And then when we looked at the first 10,000 stories to see what were the most popular stories, as shown by people clicking on the stories, we said, wait, they like all the weird stuff. Why don't we put it into a book? Tales of the Weird, Unbelievable True Stories. It's all based on science. It's all real, but you can't make up this stuff.
Now, why is it that we like that weird stuff? As radio people, we always look for weird stories too, so I guess we're no different. But what is it about that weird stuff? Just because we're thinking our life is so mundane, I can't believe this thing really exists. Sounds like something from our imagination. What have you found?
Well, I think it's because we're naturally curious, and when we see something that's really unusual and just like you say, wow, then you want to share it, and it's fascinating. It's part entertaining, it's part education, it's part just, who knew?
David,
you know, who knew that life could be confusing for two-headed snakes? Who even knew that there could be two-headed snakes? That's how this whole thing started. And the two heads fight with one another. They share the body, but they don't know that.
David, a week or so ago, there was a program here in Lorain County on the Titanic, and your release says that there was actually a secret Cold War mission that led to the Titanic's discovery. I did not know that. What's that about?
That's right. That was, Bob Ballard, who worked with the U.S. Navy, this was to look for two U.S. nuclear submarines that had sunk in the North Atlantic, roughly in the same area where the Titanic was. And the Navy wanted to send Bob down to find out why these nuclear submarines had gone down. Did the Soviets sink them, for one thing? They're pretty sure that one of them didn't get sunk by the Soviets. They thought the other one might be. They also wanted to know what was happening to the nuclear reactors. Bob went down, and he found the ships were not leaking any of the nuclear materials. There was no sign of any Soviet attack. This was just malfunction on the part of the submarines. He had 12 days over left in the mission, so the Navy allowed him to look for the Titanic. And as our story says, the Navy didn't really think he would find it. But when he did, then they got worried that the previously secret mission that was part of this would come out, which it now has many years later. But yes, it would not have been possible without the U.S. Navy developing and providing the technology to look for its missing nuclear submarines.
One of the things in the release that I'm still curious about is the discovery of the world's oldest mattress. Was the tag still attached?
This mattress was actually used, believe it or not, for 30,000 years, and it started about 70,000 years ago. But it was made of natural materials. There was kind of a frame made of bits of wood and branches, and then they covered it with foliage. This was in a cave in South Africa. And then, best of all, it was covered with insect-repelling leaves right on the top, presumably to thwart bedbugs. But entire families would lie on this bed, and yes, it was used for successfully for 30,000 years. Apparently, they burned the bedding every now and then.
Wow, we got to get on the backs of these bed bugs. They've been around for quite a long time, haven't they?
Yeah, these ancient Africans apparently had a cure for it. There's a tree that repels bed bugs.
Something else in the book is The Strange Sex Lives of Ducks, and I'm wondering if we can get a PG version of what this is about.
The Strange Sex Life of Ducks, did you say?
Yeah, ducks.
Well, there's some pretty strange things in the world of sex in the animal world, and the PG version is that the morphology or the body version of this particular duck, the male duck, is larger than the duck itself.
All right, that's an image. There's no need for that.
Okay, show's over.
Other than just to ask,
it's all tastefully done. It's all science. This is what happens out in the world.
Sure it does. I'm curious if there's many stories that actually are in the United States. Many times we get stories and all of a sudden it's like off the coast of Africa or it's in the deepest parts of Russia or China. Anything in the United States that we might be known for or made our way into this book?
Well, I don't know that there's that much weird in the United States. No, only kidding. There is quite a bit. Obviously, a lot of our research, National Geographic's been around for 125 years, and we do fund a lot of the research that's in this book. So Why Do Birds Fall from the Sky, for example, was largely based in the United States. It turned out there was a big incident, I think maybe even in Ohio, where on the 4th of July, a lot of birds came crashing down in the middle of the night, and people wondered, what is this all about? So we looked into, why do birds fall from the sky? And in this case, it might have been fireworks that got them to lift out from their roosts in the trees, and they collided with the trees in the dark, and they just died. But birds do collide with tall buildings all the time. There are about 10 billion to 20 billion birds in North America at any one time. And it's scientists in this story point out that about half of them will probably die in any given year, and a lot of them do fall out of the sky.
Now, I trust the National Geographic, but how much fact-checking is being done on all these weird and unbelievable true stories?
A good question. Well, for a start, we take stories based on science. Very often, it's science papers that are very dry, published in journals, scientific peer-reviewed journals, so the scientists themselves are checking this stuff. And then we interview those scientists and a scientist not involved with the research, and we make sure our stories are read back to those scientists so everybody's happy. We've not had any material complaint. It is National Geographic. We do check the stuff.
And, you know, on the internet, you'll see pictures of things that people have, and you're thinking, Photoshop? Was that involved? Or, you know, is this a dime-sized insect blown up to, the size of an aircraft carrier? How do you kind of control that kind of weirdness that goes on out there?
Well, you're right. There's a lot of photo forgery going on, and some of the stuff sent to us has been like that. The Cyclops shark story that's in the book, you would look at that and think, no way. There's no way that shark existed. That's got to be a fake. And in fact, the scientists looked at it, but it turned out, yes, there was a shark with one very large central eye. It looks pretty strange. But that shark never would have lived. It was in the It is a fetus. It was found inside the mother shark. But when it comes to fake photos, we have a rigorous process, but it doesn't mean to say that we haven't been fooled every now and then. Very occasionally, something slips through the cracks. Somebody put the moon in the wrong place on a photo, and we didn't pick it up. But we're pretty vigilant. But you're right. Context is really important. Pictures blown up look a lot more scary than those objects do in real life.
Right.
So we try to put the context there. There is always science behind these stories. If you read them, you'll see who we're quoting. Top universities, top scientists, multiple sources.
It's National Geographic's Tales of the Weird, Unbelievable True Stories. Our guest today has been its editor, David Braun. David, thanks for sharing those stories with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.